as oil giant ConocoPhillips reported a record high profit, consumers are still suffering from steep gas prices at the pump. The third largest oil producer in the U.S. posted its largest ever profits of $5.4 billion. Consumer Watchdog, a locally based organization, expects this to kick off what they are calling a, quote, profit orgy by the major oil companies. The group is calling on Congress to act swiftly to address the problem. Democrats have pursued two pieces of legislation focusing on releasing oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve and placing restrictions on oil speculators. Both of these actions Consumer Watchdog recommends. Meanwhile, Republicans continue to insist that offshore drilling will lower oil prices, contrary to much evidence in the opposite direction. My guest is Judy Dugan. She is the research director at Consumer Watchdog. Judy, can you tell us what's unusual about ConocoPhillips releasing these record $5.4 billion in profits, I believe, just last week?
The ConocoPhillips report came out last week, and one of the things that was expected, really, was that they would make another record profit. The oil companies in general have been making year-over-year and quarter-over-quarter record profits pretty much since 2003. The interesting thing about this is that they still defend their profits by saying, well, we have bad years and we have good years, and the good years tide us over in the bad years, so we can do what we need to do to explore and get the oil. Well, the point is that they haven't had even a remotely bad year since 2002. And the trend has been far more than historically steadily upward, year-over-year record profits. And ConocoPhillips was the first shot on the oil companies having profits. BP is Tuesday, and then the other oil companies are later in the week, and we're expecting records from all of them.
So ConocoPhillips is basically just kicking off the kind of pattern you expect, a predictable pattern from the rest of the oil industry.
Yeah, it's a profit orgy by big oil. Once again, these companies have been making record profits, making more money than many nations in profit.
So ConocoPhillips is the smallest of the big five oil companies. So even their $5.4 billion in net profits is probably going to be, or maybe the smaller of the numbers that we're going to be seeing in the coming days and weeks.
Absolutely. We expect, of course, that Exxon will make more than double that, Exxon being the largest of them, and the rest should come in somewhere in between.
Now, all of this is happening in the context of more talk of offshore drilling, and the Bush administration, of course, has been chomping at the bit for many years to drill the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, or ANWR, and the oil companies, of course, very much excited about doing that. What did these numbers, these profits, say to you, who works for a consumer organization, consumer advocacy organization? What did these numbers say to you about offshore oil drilling?
What these huge numbers from the oil companies say to me is that these companies are just looking for more easy money. What they'll do if they get these offshore drilling contracts is not go out there and immediately produce oil to relieve pressure on the market. For one thing, it could take up to 2 to 3 decades to get actual production out of the places that they're talking about. It's just like an uncashed check in their pocket. The truth is that these companies have plenty of places to drill where they have already gotten the leases in less environmentally sensitive locations that they could be developing. One of the things we learned from the ConocoPhillips profit report is that they are actually investing less in actual exploration and production than they did in previous years.
Now, is that on the surface talking about supporting offshore drilling? Is that because they're getting some kind of a financial kickback from the government to at least head in that direction?
They're getting plenty of kickbacks from the government, particularly in terms of what they call royalty relief.
What's that?
That is when the government forgives the payments that the oil companies are supposed to pay to the people of this nation when they strike it on some of the government-controlled and sort of taxpayer-owned land and offshore areas where they are drilling. Now, either deliberately or accidentally, lawmakers made a big mistake in a couple of years in the 90s when they forgot, with quotation marks about it, to put a cap on how high the price of oil had to be before the royalty relief expired. Right now, these oil companies are making immense profits off of public lands because it costs them much, much less to get the oil out of the ground or out of the ocean floor than it does to actually sell it.
My guest is Judy Dugan. She's the research director of Consumer Watchdog, and the organization is pointing out ConocoPhillips's recent report of its profits and predicting that the other oil companies will follow suit in reporting these enormous profits, even as, of course, consumers at the pump are suffering. Now, it's not just consumers. It's, the rest of our economy, essentially, which trickles down to every other aspect of our daily lives, because oil, our economy
right.
is based on oil. So it's not just hurting consumers directly at the pump, but indirectly in so many other ways. And I understand Consumer Watchdog had put out a report earlier in the month showing how diesel, which has actually risen even faster in price than expected, used to be cheaper by a few cents than gasoline, but is now actually surpassing that or is the same as that.
It's surpassing it substantially.
And diesel is, of course, what trucks use, what the transportation of goods and services uses primarily, because it used to be the cheaper alternative. Is that right?
Right. One of the things we're seeing now on diesel prices, which were as high as $5.50 at some places in California, $5.50 a gallon a couple of months ago, and which are still over $5 a gallon in many places, is that the financial year for school districts all over the country, and particularly in California, is a mid-year fiscal year. And school districts are now having to bite the bullet for next year. And what do school buses run on? They run on diesel. And so a lot of school districts are having to either cancel altogether or cut back severely on school buses, even for primary grade students. And you've got kids in these little school districts who may live a mile or 2 miles from their schools. And these are little kids. They can't just walk to school by themselves. So we've got a situation in which the price of diesel is putting 6- and 7-year-old kids in danger either of getting into traffic, just trying to get to school, or of missing school when their parents, who may be low income, who may have jobs that they have to get to, can't get them to school.
Not to mention heat exhaustion in the summer heat.
Right.
And, so basically, school. This is, sometimes it's hard to sort of think of all of the ripple effects that the oil prices have. And this is certainly a very important one where, I'm assuming that if school districts do choose to then keep their buses and running, that they might have to make cuts elsewhere, teachers or classroom sizes, et cetera, to make up for this enormous spike.
Right. There's for every penny that diesel goes up, you may well that may well be a teacher or two teachers or three teachers, depending on the size of the district, that they can't hire, or it may be one teacher or three teachers that they're going to have to lay off if they keep the school buses running. In many cases, they've decided to axe the school buses instead of the teachers.
Now, Judy, going back to ConocoPhillips, which is the smallest, as I mentioned, of the big five oil companies reporting these record profits, and, as you said, that these companies are saying that, well, they have good years and bad years, and the good years are so they can tide over the bad years. One would expect, and certainly the conventional wisdom is that these profits are then invested back into either renewable sources of energy or into new oil exploration, et cetera. But instead, ConocoPhillips isn't quite doing that with their profits.
No, they, like all of the other major oil companies, are investing half or more of their profits just buying back their own stock.
Just buying back their own stock.
Now, this accomplishes two things for the company. Mm-hmm. One, it'll raise the price of the stock. And two, it's a piggy bank. It's just like putting the money, you know, under your mattress so you can get it out whenever you want it. They can sell stock. They have bought back so much stock over the last 5 years that they can just sell stock at will if they want more money. But it does nothing for exploration, nothing for the environment, nothing for developing fuels of the future. It doesn't even get us more oil because they aren't willing to spend the money. And in fact, they have been spending more money on technology that will get additional oil out of older fields than they have on exploration and production. This was something that came up in a Pew report, a research report in 2007 and again in another update. What they're doing this for is that they will spend the extra money to get more oil out of old fields because it gives them immediate profit at the high prices they're getting today.
And with lower risk.
And with lower risk.
Because they know the oil,
know the oil is there, and they know they can get it out immediately, where what is needed is the new sources of oil if we're going to continue to have at least an economy that is in large part run on oil.
So these oil companies who, through their actions, have been essentially screwing up the economy, making life difficult for people across the board, endangering other industries, are doing what other industries are not doing instead of putting the money into good use that could actually trickle back to relieving the economy, they're pocketing it. And, I mean, this is just such a morally corrupt sort of action to take, but at the same time, they're a business and they have to meet the bottom line.
Well, if they made shoes, who cares? You know, nobody has to go out and buy a new pair of Jimmy Choos just to get to work. But the point about the oil industry is that it may be just, it's acting obviously in its own best interest, but oil is an industry, it's more like an electric utility. You can't do without it. Not in the economy that the world has today, not in the transportation fuel infrastructure that the world has today. So we have an industry that is highly concentrated, uncompetitive, and for which people who use energy have no good alternative right now.
And certainly not on the scale of an entire economy. So really, barring some serious legislation to regulate these industries, they're going to run or continue to run roughshod over the entire economy. Judy, what does Consumer Watchdog recommend needs to be done?
Well, it's in two parts, really. One is the markets on which oil is traded, the futures markets, which have been deregulated to the point where it's almost impossible to say what speculation is doing to the market. This is something that Congress has a tiptoe in this issue, but even so, they've been unable so far to pass the mildest bit of oversight. One small bill did pass, but only because it was tucked into the giant farm bill, which had a lot of other support and couldn't be affected so much by oil lobbying. But there are a number of other bills that are simply stuck and can't even get a vote, particularly in the Senate.
You know, and this is at a time when the White House is reporting record deficits, saying that the next president of the United States is going to have this gaping hole in the economy.
Of course, which is due in some part to energy costs.
Sure, exactly. And so here we are with the Congress that is not acting to regulate these oil companies. I mean, essentially, the whole economy, there is a solution staring them in the face, and they're not taking it. And you mentioned oil lobbying.
There are several solutions. One is to get new rules on trading. So it's not just, you know, people who are actually breaking the law that need some regulation. It's many other aspects of this market, including how cheap it is to gamble in this market. It costs much less to enter these markets than it does the stock market, where you have to put up 50% minimum of the cost of the stock that you're betting on. In oil, it's 5%. It's crazy because it allows
gambling.
People who gamblers essentially to control far too much oil. The other one is using some part of these huge profits that oil companies are making, especially the part of the profit that is due directly to various taxpayer subsidies. Either they can do real research, real development of alternative and renewable fuels, or that money should come back to the taxpayers to subsidize solar, wind, electric, all of the technologies that show so much promise but have not had stable funding, which is what they need to become competitors to oil.
I mean, just looking at these profits, it is so unconscionable that on top of these profits, these companies would be getting taxpayer subsidies.
Yes, and there was a recent study by the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, that said these royalty payments, that the companies overall may be getting up to $53 billion over several years.
Wonderful.
Just because of these unseemly royalty relief bills, you know, that they're getting a kickback from the taxpayers. At the other end of the market, what you want to do is the refining end. Now, this year, refining profits have been down, and the oil companies, despite their record profits, have been moaning and groaning to investors about how their refinery profits aren't as big as they used to be. There is no control at all on refinery profits. And in 2006 and in 2007, refinery profits went through the roof in the spring. There was a point where, particularly in California, more than a dollar a gallon was going to refineries, which is completely unconscionable. And so if they're not getting us on the price of oil, they're getting us on refinery profits.
Well, Judy Dugan, where can listeners find out more about what Consumer Watchdog is doing about or how your group is holding oil companies accountable?
We just try to stick a sharp stick in their side as often as possible, just to remind them that we're looking at these things from a consumer viewpoint and reminding legislators that they have a responsibility. Right now online at oilwatchdog.org and consumerwatchdog.org, we have a letter that people can send to Congress saying, here's my gas bill. Here's what I paid. It's called Send Your Gas Bill to Congress. And then it calls for these market regulations to get the price of oil down and invest more money in renewables.
Judy Dugan is Research Director at Consumer Watchdog, and you can find out more at consumerwatchdog.org and oilwatchdog.org.